and welcome to this episode of What Will I Be When I Grow Up? Our guests today are Carl Hewitt and Rhys Matthews, who are the co-founders of Hewitt Matthews, an award-winning digital media and web agency. Carl and Rhys met in college when they were both studying for their A-levels and set up an agency not long after. They have gone on to work with household brand names, government bodies, and not-for-profit organizations. They have won multiple awards for their work in higher education, amongst other sectors. Welcome to the show, Carl and Rhys. Hello, how are you?
Hello, yeah. Hey,
yeah, I'm good. Good to be here.
So if you've ever listened to the podcast, you'll know that I usually start off with asking my guests. Oh, I should point out this is the first time having two guests on the show at the same time, which is quite exciting. I don't know how we're going to balance this out, but I'm sure we'll make it work. So I normally ask guests to tell me a little bit about themselves, a little about childhood and school and some key influences from that time in their lives. So I'll leave it to you guys to decide who wants to go first, but maybe a bit about school, childhood. Yeah.
Go on, Carl. You. I'll let Carl start.
Yeah. Oh, you're very kind, Rhys. Very kind. Yeah. So I was born in Portsmouth in the UK and I've lived with my mum from about, I think, 2 or 3 years old, and lived sort of in the north of Portsmouth. Went to school in the same area from all the way from infants up to senior, which is where I sort of started my first business, if you want to call it that, with a few friends. We were customizing gaming controllers for other people and selling them back to them. So that's where that started. And then went on to Portsmouth College, which was where I met Rhys, which I'm sure we'll go into more detail on later. And then after that point, it kind of got to a bit of a crossroads for me where I didn't think I was going to go to university. And it wasn't really necessarily in the plans, but ended up going to Southampton, University of Southampton. Stayed there for about 6-7 months, at which point I dropped out to run the agency full time. And so my kind of educational experience was cut a bit short. You know, I didn't finish university in its entirety, but since then, still based down in Portsmouth, but spending a lot of time up in London for work and travelling around various places in the UK, but not quite as internationally as yourself, which I'm very jealous of sometimes. And yeah, that's kind of my background, really. In terms of influences, my key ones, of course, would be my mum, who I've lived with and grown up with since 2 or 3 years old. I think that's been the major one for me. And then a few sort of select childhood friends who I think just sort of connect with best and stay in touch with the most, I think. So one of them being my friend Joe, who's gone on to be a professional footballer, who also has a very cool job. I'm surrounded by people with much cooler jobs than mine, but it's very, very cool. He's been a good friend of mine for a long, long time, and I think is one of the few people who understands some of the ways that I think and my stupid ideas. So he's certainly been a big part of that. But anyway, Rhys, I'll let you yours as well.
Yeah, no, I think I always forget how kind of similar Carl and mine kind of childhoods were, I guess. Again, we both were brought up in Portsmouth. Mine was very, very similar to that, literally, you know, from one school to the next in the same kind of area. Again, was very similar in the sense that I quite enjoyed school when I was younger. And then it almost felt like the older I got and the more I started realizing what I wanted to do, that's where it kind of, my focus changed a little bit. But yeah, I think in terms of influences, especially just touching on that part a little bit more, for me, you know, parents hands down were a key part of that, as I think most people's will be, just from the kind of work ethic, but also my mum's a nurse. So it's that kind of being nice to people and kind of seeing the impact that that can have. And I think we're both kind of, we try and make a point to just do nice business basically in kind of everything we do. But also I had some teachers, I was quite lucky in school where I was really, really set on wanting to work for either Google or IBM. That was the goal. That was what I really, really wanted to do. And IBM had their headquarters in Portsmouth. And we used to drive past the building every day whenever we went anywhere. And it was always a goal to kind of work for them there, you know. And one of my teachers actually did so much work. He was a deputy head teacher in my secondary school. And he went out of his way to try and find a contact of someone that worked at IBM in that building. And I think eventually he found someone, and they weren't high up, they weren't really senior, but it was just enough for me to kind of say, look, can we have a catch up or whatever? And this was kind of while I was about 15, 16. So I had absolutely no clue about how difficult it would be to get in or anything, just know I wanted to work there. And the slightly ironic thing is now that IBM headquarter building has been turned into offices, and that's actually where our office is based. Completely unintentionally, I think more coincidence than anything, but I think it just goes to show kind of how important influencers probably are, and you don't notice it at the time and you don't realize it at the time, but actually they play quite a big part. But yeah, I didn't go to uni. I always say I probably wasn't intelligent enough to get into uni. I was just kind of too focused on almost wanting to do my own thing. But I was quite fortunate in the sense that I went down the route of an apprenticeship instead, because I wanted to earn some money and have a chance to do my own thing, but also have that kind of paper behind me as well to show that I did kind of further develop. But yeah, then yeah, obviously I got to a very similar position to Carl, where we kind of just made that jump and said, right, actually, let's focus on what we both want to be doing. And then, yeah, that's kind of where we are today, I guess.
Don't have to be intelligent to get into university. Maybe I shouldn't say that on the podcast that's being listened to by lots and lots of students and parents. But yeah, okay, super interesting. Because I mean, you know, I've chatted with Carl before about just kind of making that decision to jump into something that's slightly unknown, I guess, you know, yeah. And just being courageous enough to do that. I think it's a really interesting thing to have that strength of character, but it does sound like you both had pretty similar childhoods and that strong influence of amazing moms, which is nice to hear. We talked a little bit about this, I guess. I mean, Carl touched on it a bit and Reese, you talked about it too, because I was going to ask about, you know, the higher education experiences that you did have. Because, you know, Carl, you talk about having spent 6 or 7 months at uni, and then Reese, of course, talking about your apprenticeship, two very different paths, but nonetheless, you know, an involvement in higher education. Is there anything that you can take from that and still use today in the work that you do?
Yeah, definitely. From my point of view, as having gone to uni for a little while to see if it was for me, I enrolled on a course for business entrepreneurship because it was the only other uni doing it was Reading, and Southampton was closest. And the fact that I was not entirely set on it anyway, it made sense to go a little bit closer and went and did that. And I think the biggest takeaway for me was I really understood how I learn as a result of going into higher education and going to higher education. Because for me, I always knew that at school, I really struggled with the pen to paper, someone teaching on a board, and that kind of text-based learning. And I couldn't, if you give me something to read to understand, I'll struggle. But if you show me and tell me and I can do the thing, and that's when I'll really grasp it and start to understand what it's about. And I need to be watching a video on it or something like that. And so going to those lectures, but then also having the materials at home, I very quickly realized what I was picking up on better and how. And then with the business running as well, at the same time, I realized the stuff I was actually doing on the ground there was teaching me more than I could actually take in from the textbooks. And so that was a big thing for me, was understanding that. And I think there's also a huge amount to be said for the social aspect and the social development that you experience at university, more from a cultural perspective, where you meet so many people, you're thrust into this world where you probably don't know anyone. You know, with college and school, you've got your friends who you've grown up with always around you, but university, it's completely new people from completely new places that you've never met. And you've got to get involved and get social pretty quickly. And I think that's such a valuable skill that you can't really put a value on, but it'll serve you for a long, long time. So I got that benefit as well. But yeah, Reese, yours was slightly different in a business earlier, I suppose, weren't you?
Yeah, I think the big thing that kind of the overlap for both of them is kind of the hands-on kind of experience for it. Because again, I'm very similar, kind of watching somebody teach and just talk at a screen is difficult for me to take anything in and I just lose focus. But I think the hands-on experience was the big thing for me because I had no experience in work really. And I had always done projects as a kid by myself, kind of being a bit of a loner, doing things in my own time. So where Carl had his kind of, you know, custom controllers and doing things like that, my version of that was kind of recording gameplay and editing it back when that was a big thing and YouTube was just becoming, you know, that kind of thing and getting used to that. So I kind of knew straight away that actually, if I'm going to get anywhere, I need to have experience of being social with other people and working in an environment where it's not just the people you work with, but actually going out and speaking to partners and things like that, which was completely new for me. So that was a kind of big thing. But I think, as Carl said, you know, one of the projects that we kind of started before the business and before we were, you know, before I did my apprenticeship and we did uni, we kind of tried doing our own kind of mini businesses on the side. And mine was kind of a platform for young developers to showcase the work that they were doing. And at the time, obviously, when you're in it, you think that it's great. It's going to change the world, that kind of thing. It never actually came to anything in the end after about a year of just hard work. But it was a great learning curve to kind of pick up loads of new skills that we've then brought forward to this. You know, the importance of networking, the importance of just growing your network out, because that will take you to the next level. And it's all stuff like that, that again, at the time, you don't realize how important it is until you look back on it and reflect. I think that's probably the best way to sum it up, I think, the hands-on experience and things.
You know, I've said to Carl several times before, like when I was 18, I was an idiot. Like I wasn't even, there's no way I would have been thinking about running a business. I was mainly focused on like going out and, you know, which was my university experience. My parents paid for me to have a great time, which my parents don't, they still remind me of this from time to time. But, you know, you both talked a little bit about the kind of startup business stuff that you were doing from a pretty young age. So clearly you both had startups or were running or trying to run businesses before you came together to start up Hewitt Matthews. But can you each tell me a little bit about what you were doing before you met and decided to embark on this business together?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Rich, you want to go first? Yours, I thought, was an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be fair, a lot of mine comes back to being a bit of a curious, almost sad kind of 14, 15-year-old is where it all kind of started. Just because, you know, me and my friend group were massively into gaming. You know, we spent a lot of our weekends and evenings and all that kind of thing, all the time we weren't at school, basically, gaming. And that's where the whole kind of thing started with, actually, what else can I do to kind of learn some skills off the back of it? So I would start trying to record. Then it went into video editing and seeing how I could learn that and things. And I think it all stems back from just wanting to do something. So kind of working on mini projects has always been something I enjoy, because you can see the clear outcome of, you know, I put effort into this thing and then it works. And that's the kind of the overall thing. And then I think, yeah, in college is where it kind of took a next level of, right, actually, can we turn this into a business that benefits other people rather than just myself? And that's where I started looking at that. And then obviously that was before me and Carl then met and basically said, look, our skills kind of complement each other. What can we do together? Rather than doing everything by myself, like, can we partner up together and see what we can do? So I think, yeah, a lot of it just stems back to just being curious and just wanting to do it. Because when you're that age, you don't think about, is it going to generate enough money for me? Is it going to be sufficient and sustainable? You just think, let's just do it and give it a go. So that was definitely where it all came from, I think.
Yeah, no, I think it's funny, isn't it? When you're younger, you're so much more open to risk because you don't know it's risk at that point. You just give it a go and see what happens.
You are still young. I don't understand.
We don't feel it.
I feel like a 70-year-old man inside at this point, worrying about business insurance and taxes most of the time. I think in a similar way, so my first business was started with the customizing game controllers, and then I kind of went on to, I was always big into kind of the gym and fitness, so I thought, well, I'll make a clothing brand, and if only I'd called it Gymshark, I'm sure it would have done a lot better. But we made a clothing brand, and that was a dramatic failure as well. And you kind of just have to do these things, but you don't really see it as a failure. You just sort of, okay, cool, next one. And went on to the next business, which is more how Reese and I met, and that was around social media training for local businesses. And the reason behind that was my mum, as we mentioned earlier, she's always wanted to go to Rome, and she's always told me about how amazing it looks. She'd love to go. And I kind of thought, well, I'm going to need some money if I want to take mum to Rome. And I'm at college with no money. So where's the money come from? I'll start a business then. So did that. And that was a really interesting one, because that was kind of my first interaction more B2B rather than B2C, and having conversations with other companies about the challenges they're having and what they want to see. And that really forced me to learn a lot more about the space, and especially about marketing. And, you know, that's where Reese and I came together with his development knowledge and my sort of marketing, albeit a short marketing background, had learned really in depth about that. And I think that's one thing that was common throughout my sort of education and childhood and to this point, is if I'm interested in something, I'll learn it to the nth degree and the inside out of the topic, the nuances of it, the history of it. And kind of get obsessive about how much can I take in about this topic and know it. And so that's what I'd done with marketing at that point. And I'd spent, you know, I'd be learning about it till 4 a.m, writing slides for this presentation, and then going to my biology lectures in the morning at college, absolutely knackered, but really pleased with what I put together and do it again. So that was, yeah, kind of my first more proper business before this one, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, I think, again, keep going back to this. Like, I wouldn't know. At college, again, I was still like mostly thinking about which was the best university to have a good time at. Anyway, so can you tell there's a theme in my life? If it's not fun, I'm not doing it. So what was the turning point for you both when you sort of decided, right, okay, we're in this 100%? Like, when did you think, right, let's give this a go?
I remember this point so clearly.
I think we can both pin it to the exact location, the exact time, probably how light it was outside when we first started talking about it, to how dark it was by, you know. But yeah, Carl, if you want to jump in, we're both on the same page.
It's fun, isn't it? So yeah, there's a really distinct point where I was at uni, Reese was at his apprenticeship, and the business was growing. And we went to go and see a friend of ours called Dan. And he was the COO of this huge company, which now I think are pushing $1 billion in their sort of valuation and assets, and it just went public on the New York Stock Exchange of one of their companies. And so this guy is so clued up, he knows what he's doing when it comes to growth businesses. That's what they do. They're kind of an investment firm. And we're having a chat with him, and you know, they weren't looking to try and take any equity from us or try and see how they could benefit. It was a purely that these young guys are kind of like lambs to the slaughter. Let's be nice and put them in the right direction. And we had this chat with him for hours and hours, and then Reese and I essentially were asking, what should we do? What should we do? We've got this agency. It seems to be growing. We've got clients and we need to hire people. And the general gist was like, you just need to do it full time. Uni's going to be there. Apprenticeships are going to be there when this is done. So you've just got to jump in with both feet and do it. And I think you're missing an opportunity by not. And then Reese and I went outside after the meeting and we had a chat. And I just bought, I've been saving up for ages for my job at Lidl. So I just bought this brand new car, actually not brand new, secondhand car. And it was this like one series convertible BMW and I loved it. And it was my like baby in life. And we were having a conversation and it was like, well, if we both quit now, our jobs in uni, you know, Reese can have to take a big salary pay cut to nothing, basically. I was earning probably like £100 a month or whatever it was. And we had this conversation about, well, I'll sell the car and that'll do our salaries for a while and we'll just walk to meetings. We'll do that. And then we're kind of like, yeah, we could do that. And it was going on for ages. We're having this long conversation. And eventually I said, look, I'm going to leave uni. I'm just going to drop out and we'll do this full time. And Reese agreed that he'll leave his job and did so a little while later. And it was easier for me to drop out of uni actually. But Reese then left his job and we both went at it full time. But that was quite a real turn. Yeah,
I think it was just the fact that, you know, after we had this meeting, which was already a couple of hours anyway, we probably spent a good 3-4 hours after just running through every scenario. You know, we'd never done anything like this before. It's the whole, are your parents going to approve of it? Is it the right thing to do? Like, what's the right answer? And there was nobody on the planet that could answer it for us apart from us. And I think at the end, we talked ourselves into just being so bored of talking about it. We just had to do it. But yeah, it's one of those moments you look back on and go, I'm so glad that we did it. And it, again, it was just nice to have someone like Dan that Carl mentioned that actually was just straight up and honest and had no personal motives from it at all, purely just wanted to help, you know. And if he hadn't given that advice, who knows where we would be now.
Yeah. And I'm actually seeing Dan next week, hopefully as well, to catch up with him. We've always been friends since that point. We've gone on golf trips together. Like we get on well. And, I always think he must have thought we looked insane because we left that meeting and in the car park, we were stood by my car talking for about 3 hours, right? He could see us from his window if he wanted to. And he must have just looked out of his window after this meeting and every 30 minutes, we're still there, just stood in his car park.
Yeah. I'm guessing it was the summer.
It was.
Yeah.
Fairly early on in my sort of uni.
Yeah, I think it's interesting like that you had all these considerations and then at the end of it, you were like, right, let's ignore everybody else. And it's down to the two of us really to make this work. And, you know, you have made it work. That's amazing. I just wanted to ask though, like, what do you think some of the pros and cons are of being a startup? Like, you know, if someone says to you, if someone came to you, like you went to Dan, what would you say the pros and cons are?
I think there's a lot of both, isn't there, really?
Yeah, and I think, Davina, I think you touched on one earlier, is that most 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds or whatever at the time are having fun. I think it's safe to say that we sacrificed a lot of that. You know, we were a lot more boring, I think, most of the time because we were so focused on the business instead. Most 18, 19-year-olds are in uni, they're having fun, they're going out, they're doing all that kind of stuff. I think we've kind of made that decision that actually we want to just focus on trying to grow this. You know, we've got it there now. It would be silly just to not put 110% into it. And we were both very aligned on that goal, I think. So it kind of wasn't ever a discussion. It was just an unspoken rule that we would just focus on it. So I think there are lots of pros and cons that we could probably run through. But I think one of the biggest cons is that you do sacrifice the typical kind of stereotypical life that you would have as a younger, you know, early 20s, 18, 19, 20, that kind of age group. But yeah, what are your thoughts, Carl?
Yeah.
Get the cons out of the way first.
No, that's a big thing is that social side of things, and you're forced to grow up pretty quickly when you're going into meetings with people who run businesses for a long time. They're paying their mortgage, feeding their families with their business, and you're claiming that they should give you some of that money because you can generate them more. So you're forced to grow up pretty quickly and know how to communicate better with individuals. And so that's a big learning curve you've got to go through. But the pros and cons, of course, the big pro is you're in control of what you're doing. You know, this is something that Reese and I still love to this day, is if we want to offer a service, we can offer that service. Of course, it's our responsibility to learn and find the right people, get the processes in place, etc., and make sure it's a good service. But if you want to offer something different tomorrow, you can start those wheels in motion because you want to. And that's a really good thing. I love that. You can kind of control that, and you can find value. If you think something's going to be there that actually there's opportunity or there's prospective chance there that we can do X, Y, Z, you can go and explore that. There's no one fencing you in. And that's one of the best things about it, in my opinion. In terms of the other cons, it's not the case for everyone in the startup. But for us, we were, 17, 18. There was no network pre-existing, no experience. There was no money, no clients, nothing like that. It was like, it felt like Bear Grylls dropped in the wild with his little flint, and then you go do what you want to do and see what you can come up with. And that was a challenge. Again, it could be considered a con, but it taught us some really valuable skills. I think one of the biggest things I've learned is just ask people. People are so much more receptive and supportive and less scary than I think a lot of people think they are. So that was another thing in that. But that's my thoughts anyways.
100%. Yeah. And I think one of the biggest pros out of all of this is the type of people you meet. You know, we've had the chance to meet some great people, you know, just the way they think, the way they deal with things. You know, you probably never would have met them if we weren't in the position we're in. You know, we have worked on kind of getting some of the best mentors that we can, that, you know, they go out of their way. They're incredibly busy people and we're super grateful for them. But that's been a massive, massive pro, is that we get to learn from some of the best. You know, people that are doing it, and they're doing it very well. So that I think is one of our kind of joint pros, I think, is that we both love that. But it's like Carl said, some of the cons that you would consider cons, actually, they're just learning curves that actually you can turn into pros. And I think part of that is growing a team. You know, people are the hardest part of a business. And in most people that I speak to say the same thing. And that was a massive learning curve for us, having never managed people. And I completely underestimated how difficult that would be. And, you know, we're still very much learning, but each day we get slightly better, hopefully. And that is another thing of just when you get the team together and they're all in the same place, it's just a good feeling of, you know, we're all working towards the same goal. They're all bought into the same mission that we are. And that's a nice feeling to have.
I don't think anyone really knows how to manage anyone, I'm perfectly honest with you.
Like, definitely tough. Yeah.
it's just you learn as you go along. I feel it's the hardest part of running a business. Trying to understand everybody's needs and making sure that everybody's kind of, like you said, aiming for the same thing or wanting the same things for the organization. And as the leader, trying to rally everyone around to be in that same space. Yeah, that's why it's the 12th of January and I want to have a nap.
Yeah. We're all in the same boat. Yeah. Yes. When's Christmas?
Yeah. It's okay. It's Chinese New Year, like I said, next week. I can have my nap.
There you go.
So, do you have any advice for young people who are considering setting up their own businesses? I think one of the things I've noticed with the work that we do with, you know, students doing GCSEs or A-levels is how many of them actually do talk about having set up a business. Or I think the opportunity to be more entrepreneurial is better these days with, you know, having access to people from all over just by having the internet. But if someone did want to set up a business, what advice do you have for them? Do a Dan, go.
Yeah, I don't know if I can follow up what he said, but I think you're so right. The mindset of setting up businesses and being entrepreneurial now is so much more almost acceptable and like promoted than it used to be, even when we were at school and college. I think that comes with social media, and I think there's pros and cons to it. You log into social, you see someone who's set up an Amazon business. They made 2 million in 30 seconds, and it's not real, but it's showing everyone is starting their own businesses. And I think it's showing people it's okay to do that, and the opportunity is there, and we're more connected for that. And so in terms of advice for young people looking to do it, my biggest thing would be just reach out and talk to people you find interesting to start with, and just listen to them, understand what their problems are, you know, what they're looking to do, where they came from, and just try and get a lot of different angles on something you're interested in. So you kind of sit down and think, well, you know, I really was interested in marketing. I found that really cool. I thought it was an interesting space to be in. So I kind of just jumped into learning. I probably would have benefited more from just messaging some people on LinkedIn and saying, look, want to set up a marketing agency, can I have a conversation with you about what you recommend, and just cover off those early risk factors and get some ideas and get some inspiration. I think, you know, we're very fortunate with the people we meet at the moment from some of the largest marketing agencies in the world. And that's still just because we'll message them and say, look, I don't know what I don't know yet. You're turning over billions. I'm not. So what can we talk about? And I think that's it. Just build your network early, talk to people, try and find some mentors if you can. I wouldn't do it officially, like a go to a mentoring group forum and try and find people. The best ones you'll find are just individuals that actually want to help.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely. I think that's the big thing, is that, you know, people are a lot nicer than you think. You'll be surprised at just reaching out, as long as you're genuine and, you know, you're making it a mutually beneficial thing, and it's not a level of expectation that you expect them to give up a certain amount of time. You know, as long as it's a kind of mutual thing, people are a lot nicer. And we did that in the early days. You know, one of the ways that we met Dan was just purely through, I think it was sending him a message on Twitter and just kind of saying, look, we'd love to have a chat. And it's just having those kind of conversations that we were kind of fearless when we were younger, of just, we'll just message anyone, you know, why not? Because the worst thing that can happen is they ignore you, which you lose nothing. You may lose, you know, a minute or so of the time it took to draft the message. So it's worth doing, as long as you're passionate about something and they can see that, then it always works out quite well. But yeah, I think that would probably be mine as well. And social media, like Carl said, is the way to do it. You speak to anyone that opened a business kind of 30, 40 years ago, they didn't have this luxury of, here's a whole directory of everyone who's doing everything in business. You can message them. You know, they didn't have that. We've got that opportunity to do that. So that would be the thing. You know, look at someone who's doing it and is doing it well and just see what they say. You know, it might be a few lines on a message, or they may meet you up for a coffee or whatever that looks like, but it's definitely worth doing.
Yeah, I think that's really great advice, you know, just reaching out, chatting to people. And you're right, people are a lot less scary than you think they are. Right. So we only have two more questions. An ultimate question is about asking you to look back at your journey so far and to think about whether there's anything you would do differently.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. I think the answer that came straight to my mind was almost... like, I'm very happy with what we're doing and where we're going and the people we've got. And so you don't want to change anything necessarily. But I think if you look at it from a commercial point of view, I think one of the big things we should have got involved in sooner was search and go on to that sooner. I actually found a podcast kind of interview from maybe five years ago, where I was talking about various different things. And then I mentioned VR. And AR just kind of on the side, this is a really cool thing. And we probably should have looked into that more. And I was almost said, like, yeah, this will be the future of a lot of things, I think. But anyway, and then like moved on. And I was thinking that could have been really cool. But it's a world that's moving really quickly. So there's always going to be missed opportunities. I don't think personally I would have changed a huge amount of our journey so far, because a lot of those pivotal moments, like, you know, I was ready to sell the car. I would have got Auto Trader up and got that listed that night, and we would have done it. And it's, you know, those kind of moments that will shape where you get to. And I think they're not as cheesy as it is. You have successes and lessons, and that's kind of it. So I think any of it's not valuable for me. I don't know about you, Rich. You might say differently. I would never have started it.
No, not at all. I think it's one of those, you don't want to be too critical, because you learn the lessons you have because of what's happened. I think the big thing for us, or for me especially, is kind of one thing that I learned from a mentor is just outlining the goals earlier, the true kind of North Star, if it would be, of where you're going. Because for so long, we were just, the logic was just keep working harder and see what we can do. But you almost become a bit like a ship in the ocean, but not really knowing what your destination is or where you're going. And that kind of catches up to you, and you're suddenly going, actually, what are we aiming for? Where are we going? So getting that in place was a big learning curve for us. And maybe if we had done that sooner, it may have been slightly different. But again, we learned that lesson because we didn't do it, if that makes sense. So I think that would be a thing. And then the other really, really boring one, just because I handle our kind of operational side, is just about putting processes in place quicker and documenting them. And the only reason I say that is because as you grow the team and more people come in, you forget how reliable processes are. And if you've got them all up in your head, it's really hard to then pass that on to someone else. So if you've got them documented, then it just saves a world of pain and makes onboarding a lot easier too.
Yeah, I think just to add on to that as well, one of the big things I think we've been guilty of, I think early career and journey, absolutely love that where we were. And then we got more people, we had more risk on our shoulders, more revenue and profit in a company that was growing. And you kind of stop taking risk and stop taking action as quickly. And I think that's an easy trap to fall into, that this year I've kind of just said to myself, well, I've had enough of overthinking things and letting perfection be the enemy of good. Just make sure that you're constantly moving forward in some way and you're moving the needle, rather than thinking about, will I move the needle and do I really want to? And how's that going to look when it's done? And too much overthinking can, yeah, really be an issue. So I think taking action constantly, because we are in such an incredible opportunity. Like you said, Reece, we've got social media now and more connected than ever every single day. I think it would be stupid to not take advantage of that and make what you can from it. So don't stand idle for too long. The only thing that can gain from it really is a pretty good lesson. Sometimes it's a pretty cheap one, even if it doesn't seem.
I mean, it's funny the way you guys talk. It's you have worked and run this business for a long time, but like there really is still a long journey ahead, right? Like in so many opportunities to tap into, so many things to try out. So I think it's great to kind of have those goals. I find it valuable as well in the work that I do to at least have an annual operating plan to just be like, right, these are the things we're going to do this year. We're going to try and achieve these goals. And then, you know, look at them a year later and be like, okay, right, we did this and we got that wrong. And here's how we change and improve. I think anyone who is keen on setting up a business needs to be aware of the value of that. I think it's easy to just jump in and go, and then what? Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Just one last question. Any last thoughts or advice for young people who are considering what they will be when they grow up?
Yeah, this one was an interesting question. I had to kind of have a think about this. Personally, it kind of comes back a little bit to when you're starting a business. But I think in terms of looking for either starting a business or going into employment or whatever it is you're looking to do, the real key thing for me is to consider a couple of things. And one is what you love doing, you know, what interests you. Someone said, I've got this really interesting book that will open up this world of X. Does that really get you motivated and get you up in the morning? And list those things out. And it could be like Reece said, it could be gaming, it could be football, or it could be marketing, it could be maths and finance, it could be anything. But list all of them out and then have a list of things that you feel you're good at or that you know you'd like to progress at more. And then also think about the way that you learn and just keep those in mind straight away from the get-go. And then you kind of are thrust into this world of a million job titles. You know, like you've got so many. You might want to be a chief happiness officer. I don't know. There's so many different jobs now that kind of come in, and you can't be expected to understand all of the job roles, the functions, what they do day to day, because they're all very by job role and by company they do it for. So go and see, read a lot of job descriptions, read the bullet points in them as to what that job is responsible for, and see, you know, would I enjoy that? Is that a good thing for me? And then go and talk to some people in those spaces and get some experience and whittle them down. But that all starts with thinking about what you're good at, what you love, and how you learn as well, and sort of take it from there. That was my thoughts on it anyway. If I was going to go and start again, I'd take it a little bit more strategically and filter it out.
Yeah, definitely. I think I can only really echo what Carl's already said there, to be fair. I think that's exactly what I would do. I think it is just a case of, because you think about how much time you would spend in work, right? Typically 40 hours a week, if we base it on an average job. That's a long time. That's a lot of hours in every single week. So you've got to enjoy what you're doing. And I think that's the thing as well. You don't have to be perfect in the job option that you pick day one. You know, if you do it and you do it for 6 months and you find it's not for you, it's not a problem if you then go and try something else, especially while you're young, because that's the time to figure it out. Because the worst thing you can do, from what I've heard of older people that are stuck in jobs that they hate, is that you just stick in the job for the sake of it. And then 20 years on, you just hate going to work. It's not something you enjoy. And, you know, that eats up a lot of your life. I think, yeah, doing the research before, even speaking to people like Carl said, is spot on.
I think that's actually just reminding me recently. I don't know who gave us this advice, but especially if you're looking for employment as well, just treat yourself as your own mini business. You've got your own brand and marketing and experience and your own network that you need to grow, and understand that, you know, you've got to be in it for you. It sounds selfish, but you need to be selfish in life and in your career, because otherwise you will just end up, as Rhys says, you'll end up in a job because you think someone else wants you there and you're being nice for them and you don't want the awkward conversations. But on the other side of that is where I think the best bits about work lie. So it's just understanding that and looking at it more objectively. Is my career, it's a big part of my life, so I need to get it right and probably go through some awkward conversations and some mistakes to get there, but that's not a bad thing at all.
And some crappy jobs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today and for answering all my questions and for providing us with all these insights. Just really thank you again, and hope to catch you again soon. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.